So my name is Alex DeChanu. I live here in Hamilton. I go to McMaster University. I also work there. And I came down today to check out Occupy Hamilton.
Okay, so you're part of the 99% movement?
I've been going to the General Assembly meetings, and I mean, I'm also like a longer time activist. I think there's a lot of first-time activists coming out, which is really awesome and really interesting. I've been doing this for a few years now, so.
You've been an activist for a while?
Yeah, probably 5 years. I'm an anti-capitalist activist at that.
What kind of issues have you been active in?
Well, I'm part of a group. It's called Steel City Solidarity. We work with, it's actually part of my local union, but we work with workers who don't have unions, who get cheated out of their wages. So we'll do campaigns, direct action-based campaigns around those workers, trying to publicly shame them, shame their bosses, disrupt their business peacefully,
So make it public.
Hurt their bottom line so it's cheaper for them to pay the worker the wages they already owe them than to put up with us.
All right. They can't make you go away, so.
Well, that's a big issue in Hamilton. There's so much. I mean, I know we're known as a union town, but there's a growing number of workers who don't have unions, who have really terrible working conditions and have no protections. So we're trying to bring, I guess, a culture of militancy and fighting for your rights to those workers who have kind of been left behind by the rest of the labor movement.
Yeah, there's Hamilton is misunderstood. It's lost its category in life. But the other thing that's an opposition to being thought of as a union town is there really isn't a lot of activists, not like you see in Toronto, not like OCAP.
No, yeah, I think, I mean, the unions are really focused on their own issues of a little bit, maybe I think a bit too much. I mean, I know they're under attack and on the defensive. So in terms of going on to the community and having kind of a broader vision and trying to reach out to more people, maybe with the exception of 1005 and my local QP 3906, which has been doing a lot of work supporting grassroots groups, you don't see as much of that.
What does your QP cover?
We're at McMaster University. We represent teaching assistants, contract
TAs.
faculty, postdoctoral fellows, and research assistants.
Okay, so it's mostly around university.
Yeah, it's a big local.
University activities and work. Okay, anything else you'd like to add?
I think all what we just talked about totally ties in with the Occupy Canada, Occupy Wall Street movement. I think, in the U.S., they're going to have to focus on Wall Street, given the bailouts and everything like that. I think in Canada, we can quickly start tying in other issues. I think if the financial system is a nervous system, the central nervous system of this economy, but there's all other aspects to it, like temp agencies, like unions on the defensive, like the environment, like public transit. All these things, I think, can be part of this movement.
Right. I mean, I look at Hamilton as a microcosm of the world because whatever is happening out there is also happening right on the streets of Hamilton. We can reach out and touch it.
Yeah, my name is Michael, and I'm at the Occupy Hamilton to support change within my community. And being in a wheelchair, it's a lot easier than going and safer from my perspective than going to Toronto. And what I would like to briefly say is that as a new paraplegic, 2002, I am now forced into poverty by being required to make my living from ODSP. And I'm grateful that we have it, but it is far from enough for us to live a dignified life. For example, they give me $465 a month for my rent. My rent is $800. So where does that money come from?
So you're on ODSP. It doesn't keep up with the cost of living.
Well, not at all. No, unfortunately, I feel like I'm going to be regulated into poverty the rest of my life, the way the ODSP system is set up. As I was saying, my rent is $800. They subsidize my rent to $465. That's what they give me. So where does the rest of the money come from my rent? Well, it comes from what's supposed to be for my food and my necessities, such as clothes and hydro and such. And I'm just one of many. There's 4 million disabled in Canada. And so I know it changes province to province, but that's 4 million people who are forced to live their lives in poverty. And this is, again, just part of the bigger Occupy issues, is that we're being controlled by our system in a way that helps the elites and the corporations, and is giving less and less help to the working class and the poor.
That's why we are the 99%.
That's right. And so that's a great place to start. And I'm an optimist. I do believe that change will come, that people do want to do what's right if they're given all the information and not misinformed, as I believe is happening through the lobbying and the closeness of corporations and governments, especially conservative governments.
Hang on,
you should get by.
Yeah,
no, it's moving a bit, yeah. Pardon us.
Thank you.
Hi, Munchkin. Pardon me.
Ballet dancing.
Yeah, nice. Or yoga.
That's a little early. Okay. What did you have to say at the park?
Well, basically, I told everybody at the park that change comes by small groups, and that what we have to do is just keep networking and doing our due diligence and keep persistent, and that I'm an activist in my community, which I now spell COMEUNITY, and that's the gist of everything. We have to remember again that we are a community, and that the poor and the working poor are part of our community, and we have to share the pie a little more effectively and efficiently in these current days, and that's not happening. And in fact, I see the corporations and the governments working against that mode. For example, Harris and how they're playing against unions, and they're breaking the unions. And who does that benefit? Well, that benefits the elite corporate capitalists.
Yeah, the national corporation coming into Canada now.
Also, yeah, look at U.S. Steel. What's
exactly
going on with that? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the Harper government and McGuinty government has done nothing to support these people. And that's the issue. This free trade globalization is supposed to help everybody. Well, but what we were sold when Mulroney brought it in was the fact that it's going to raise the living standards, the environmental standards, the working standards of all the countries that signed. Well, it hasn't worked that way. What it's doing is it's eradicating our middle class, it's eradicating our environmental standards, it's eradicating our labor standards, because we can't compete with slave labor or Indonesia or China or Guatemala. We can't compete with their standards of living on a playing field. It's an unjust, unwinnable situation for us. And what's happening is we're losing our middle class.
Exactly. And it's because of NAFTA using Chapter 8, which assigns the ability of a corporation to act as a human, gives a corporation the right to be a human being, and sue for what they might perceive would be lost income. And that's the nut of it right there. That's taken Canada.
That's the left nut. The right nut is that they also are not accountable, corporations. Whereas you and I, as people, are accountable.
That's right.
There's the other nut. So there's two nuts there.
Well, a couple of nuts right here. But what we really need to do is, as you said, continue with the movement. Because we in Canada, we're too polite, we're too shy, we're too quiet. And now that we've got this mass movement moving, we need to continue it. We need to keep people speaking out. And the mainstream media is bound to have to catch up at some point. How far they'll announce the information is unsure, but we have a lot of independent media. So thank you so much.
My pleasure, and thank you for doing all the work you do. And not all Canadians are shy, and there's always been activists who are Canadians in the system. I'd just like to tag that. We're not the majority yet.
Well, I'm beginning to think you are. I'm hoping so. I'm hoping you are the majority. Anything else you want to add?
No, let's everybody just join forces and try to remember our Canadian ideals, that we're a more loving and caring society than, say, our big brother to the north of us,
south of us,
America. We do care about each other, but because of the financial situation caused by all these lobbyists and corporations, we're losing that because we're being all stressed out and we're being sold a bill of goods. That's taking away that compassion.
It's taken it away. We're gone now.
Yeah,
it's gone.
No, thanks. You're right.
We're fighting back from the bare basic streets.
You're right. So we have to take back the rights that we've lost and create systems that are more just.
Thanks, Mike.
Pleasure.
Hello, my name is Michelle Hiroshka, and I'm a local advocate on workers' rights issues and anti-poverty. Well, I've been busy. I'm right now in the midst of forming a group called HCAP in Hamilton, Hamilton Coalition Against Poverty. We're going to be a direct action group to help people who've been denied the rightful benefits under social programs.
And today, primarily, you were at Gore Park in Hamilton with the 99% Action Group.
Yes, I was.
What did you have to say while you were there?
I just talked about the fact of how corporate greed and corruption has affected the 99% of us, and it actually hits those of us who are the most marginalized. So I talked about, you know, the shelter system being inadequate. I've heard many stories from many women that there's no beds, and that frightens me because women are very vulnerable out in the streets.
And they're the ones with kids.
Yes, so that's a concern. I also talked about the food bank system, how inadequate that is. I've been asking the question, what is the legislation, whether it's provincial or at a municipal level, that allows these agencies to pry into your private business? So asking for rent receipts, hydro bills, stuff, when you should really only have to bring in either an OW slip and ODSP to say that I'm on the system without all this stuff. Because the means testing does eliminate a lot of people from getting access to the bank.
It's a weeding out process. Now, you were just telling me you went to Queen's Park. What did you have to say to Queen's Park?
I went a couple years ago to speak to the Standing Committee on Bill 139, which is the temp workers bill. And I just got an email yesterday that someone who works for the TV show W5 has...
CTV,
okay. Read my presentation, and he would like to interview me. So I'm just waiting to hear if that will be set up.
Do you have a few minutes now that you can say what you said in Queen's Park?
Mostly I talked about some of my own experiences working through the temp companies, the lack of rights, being terminated. I also talked about other people's stories that I've heard through the years to try to give a picture of what it's really like to work for a temp company. Sometimes that's the only work that's available is temp work, and you get all excited that you at least have some work, you can be terminated for any reason. Sometimes there's a lot of workplace bullying that goes on against temp workers from permanent workers. They don't like them, and I understand that, especially in a union. If you go into a unionized environment, the union workers see you as an enemy, which isn't really fair, because when I talk to labor people, I always try to say that you should be enveloping those workers as part of your movement, opposed to seeing them as the greater enemy. It's not them, the individual worker who's trying to feed his family. It's the temp company and your employer.
Mm-hmm. So are you working now yourself?
No, I lost my job in 2009, again, to workplace bullying. I've been looking. There is no work available.
Good for you to be active and speaking up and speaking out. Very few people are doing that. But I think it's starting to catch up with the 99% movement.
Well, I know for me, because I'm part of a group called Steel City Solidarity, and we help precarious workers, and we've had 3 successes so far. We've actually won back the wages owed for the 3 workers. It was, different techniques, flyering, postering, going with them to, like the Ministry of Labor. The last one, they actually, 10 people went. They took the banner and were outside in the office at the Ministry of Labor. So it does provide pressure, knowing that the worker is not alone. So that particular employer got slammed, and I'm really glad that they did. From a government perspective, there needs to be more enforcement of what labor law is there. Right now, that's the hardest issue. Like, the law is there, but it's not always enforced, and it's difficult to get the law enforced. A lot of people don't understand what their rights are. A lot of people are afraid to stand up for their rights.
Exactly.
Through the years, I've gotten some local press in the Spectator, since I've become a little bit more radical. They're tending to shy away. but that's okay. You know, I still try to talk civilly to people. I go on the blogs around the city and talk about poverty issues. Actually, yesterday there was an article posted on Raise the Hammer about the LRT and how it would raise low-income people.
She's talking about Raise the Hammer, which is a media magazine or a blog magazine?
Yes,
here in Hamilton.
Yes. And I don't disagree with the LRT. I agree that it's something that should be built. I should have probably been thinking about that a long time ago. But some of the arguments or debating points, especially for people on social assistance, they need more money. So as of October 3rd this month, you can no longer buy bus tickets. Now you have to buy the Presto card and then load that. But people on OW especially don't have the money to even do that. So
how much is that card?
I think I've heard around $6.
So you have to buy a prepaid $6 bus pass.
Yeah, first, and then load the card. But people on OW don't have that money, so it's going to make it more increasingly hard for people on OW who are trying to find work.
Explain why people on OW can't afford $6.
Well, the maximum they can get is $598 a month.
It hasn't moved, has it?
No, it hasn't moved.
And since what year?
I went to a poverty and health forum in Toronto that was put on by OCAP, QP, and OCHU, which is Ontario Council of Hospital Unions. Mm-hmm. And they say that social assistance rates must go up by 55%, and even that number is now becoming obsolete.
Because of cost of living.
Cost of living. So the 1 or 2% that the McGuinty government has given people since his election in 2003 has done nothing. People can't afford to pay rent. They can't afford to buy food. They can't afford to do job search. And, they shuffle people into some programs that are completely inadequate, don't deal with the current labor market.
The eroding labor market.
Yeah, because the jobs are, there's just not any good paying jobs out there.
Minimum wage doesn't even support.
No, it doesn't. If you have children, let's say you're a family and you have two children working at minimum wage, even if it was one wage earner and the mother stayed at home, you're going to have a very difficult time, paying rent, buying food, clothes, the little things that, your kids may want a pizza at school or...
Even school supplies can't afford.
Yeah, so...
So there's so many issues, and there's only one solution, which is basically to tax the rich.
Yes, I agree with that. I find it very disconcerting that our so-called elected representatives no longer represent the people.
Not after they get elected.
No, and it's corporate bodies, they can lobby, they have the access where the common people... even if you have, let's say, a town hall or a public consultation on an issue, it's usually just a show, a dog and pony show. Yeah. It doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, trying to say we're doing something. So that's why this critical mass of 99% movement should continue in every city and town in Canada.
Yes, I believe that it's a movement that needs to grow globally. We're all under the same system. It's not right. It's not fair. I don't like the fact that, corporate bodies, because if they want what they want, they can go into another country, they can use lethal force to take what they want. They don't care about the people that live in that country, whether they're living off the land or whatever. They want what they want.
And there has been deaths in certain countries. I've talked to people who have witnessed shootings.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think, because we're Canadians, some people think that Canadian corporations are, we're the good guys, but I'm not saying that all,
Canadians are the good guys. It's the corporations that don't belong here.
It's an illusion. An illusion. So I think organizing and mobilizing people is the most important issue. It's very difficult to get people involved, but that's my primary focus in forming HCAP so that we can organize those people, try to find out what their skills are, utilize them. Not everyone's political, but at least you can use them in some fashion so they feel empowered.
Get their story out.
Right. Yeah. based on my own experience, you know, there's some groups in Hamilton, like, they do a lot of talking, but they don't actually do any of the action work.
That's because they're not on the street, and they don't, the same as the politicians, they don't know it, they don't feel it.
But,
and also they want to, you know, they want to make deals with politicians because they want, that's how they're trained mm-hmm. to work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in a situation now where everything is the people on the streets, and that's the 99%. That's what it means, the people on the street. They're trying to be helpful, but they're not part of the movement.
No, and I was listening, I don't know if people have heard of Chris Hedges, but he was in Toronto last December.
Yep.
And in his lecture that he gave, he spoke about people who are going through university are being trained as managers of systems opposed to the long traditional learning. Universities becoming very corporate.
And that's where these corporations go to get their research done, at universities. And universities have to get money from someplace, so they get the money from the corporations.
But I think, to me, it should be a public education. You know, everybody should be able to get, you know, a post-secondary education. I do know that a lot of the tenured positions are they're being done away with. So professors,
wow.
They're clocking them down to, you know, you have to apply, you know, I'm going to teach this course and you only get so many hours and you get only this much money. So the power of, you know, the actual academia, the teaching is being
dismantled
as well.
Yeah, that's terrible. So they're dismantling education from another way now.
Yes, they are.
There are countries in the world where you can get a university education for free. I'll have to check into that to see if it's still true. We've been talking to Michelle Hryska, who is an activist in Hamilton, Ontario. We thank her for her time. Any last words?
I'd just like to thank Maggie for having me, and I wish her all the best.
Campbell Young. And the corporate capitalist economy, which is blatantly anti-democratic. Functioning in a genuine direct democracy, people get practice working together so that someday we can take over the self-management of our own workplaces and communities. To me, this points the way to a possible future without capitalism and the state.
That was Campbell Young. That's his point of view. And he was one of the attendees to the 99% group or activity that was happening in Gore Park in Hamilton. Hamilton is very much a part of the global movement and the Canadian movement. We'll have more next week.